God's word is a fire in my bones, and I cannot keep it in. We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason DeZurek. Going to be taking a look at fear tonight. Fear, worry, is it real or not? We'll dig into it in just a bit. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Again, I'm your host, Jason DeZurek. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Appreciate you being with me here. You can find our resources as well at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Have a number of paperback books available there, Kindle. You can find our podcast, our blog, so many things. Friends, why worry? Worry is what happens when we fear. Things like, I'm afraid of losing my job. I'm afraid of getting into a car accident. I'm afraid of getting hit by something falling from the sky. My goodness, fear can drive you crazy. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. So are fear and worry real? Well, it's a tough question to really answer. The short answer really is, well, kind of yes, because in your mind, it's real. But I'll just say this. Fear and worry are as real as we allow them to be. Did you hear that? Fear and worry are as real as we allow them to be. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Friends, cast it out. Not love, cast out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. I don't know about you, but I sure would like to be perfected in love. I want to follow God in everything I do. Friends, the Bible mentions fear many times. Many times. We see Romans 8:31, it says this. It's not talking about fear, but it says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that, friend? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? There are actually two different types of fear in the Bible. One is the fear we commonly think of, like being afraid or terrified. The other actually is a holy fear. Well, like being in reverence or in awe. Friends, we're instructed to have both types of fear of God. Did you hear that? We should be in reverence, be in awe of God, absolutely. But at the same, I'm laughing because at the same time, there's, well, many of us who just, we're not terrified of God because we think we've arrived. We think we're enough. We think our way is the right way, and we're unwilling to confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and repent. And we thumb our nose at God. We're so arrogant. Again, holy fear is being in reverence or in awe. Tonight I plan to really take a look at the first type of fear, that of being scared or afraid. If I have time, we'll go into the next one. Don't know if I will, though. Friends, we humans often experience fear when we are in a situation that is unexpected. Here's an example. Every time an angel visited a person, the angel's greeting, I mean, think about this, friend. The angel's greeting started out with some form of "do not fear." You know, on a personal note, I'm pretty sure if an angel showed up in my room or, oh, wherever I was, I'd be terrified. I would definitely be in reverence and awe, I can tell you that. But if it was right in front of me, you know, right now, huh? If that happened, friends, I would have the choice. You'd have a choice to either let the fear that you have dominate and shut you down, or else heed the angel's words and not be afraid of the situation. Again, in this world, we will have trouble. Danger is real. I think so many of us forget that today. We as humans often experience fear when we're in a situation that is unexpected. We need to, without a doubt, have reverence and awe for God. Before humankind sinned, friends, there really was none of this type of fear, meaning fear of just being so afraid and terrified when God made the entire creation. Before Adam sinned, they weren't afraid of God. Not that type. I mean, they walked with him, talked with him. In fact, there was nothing to be afraid of, because humanity was in full right relationship with Almighty God. Nothing is stronger or bigger or more powerful than God. And friends, with God so close to them, I'm talking about Adam and Eve, that there was nothing to be afraid of. The enemy had no power in that perfect world. But when sin came into the world, so did fear. We now have an enemy that we should be afraid of. Again, the danger is real. The danger is real. But my friends, fear of that danger? Well, that's straight up a choice. It truly is a choice. In our fallen human state, I know so many of us struggle with that, because that means, well, that means we're responsible then for our own fear of something. And that's really hard because, well, let's take a look at Adam and Eve. When God went to Adam and said, "What have you done?" I mean, what? Adam did what? He pointed to Eve and said, "That woman you put here with me." He played the blame game. He did not take responsibility. Now, if Adam would have taken responsibility, personally, I think there's still consequence that goes with it, because God's natural law has to happen. It's not like God said, "Oh, it's okay, Adam. It's all done." It's not. No, there was now death, disease, and dying are here. And in fact, and this is where many Christians today struggle, because thorns and thistles were not in the creation up until that point. They did not exist. Go read it for yourself. Pre-sin, thorns and thistles didn't exist. Disease and dying didn't exist, so no arthritis, no cancer. Dare I say, no COVID. None of that. Until Adam sinned. Then death, disease, dying came into the creation. My dear friends, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to experience some form of danger in this world. Some form of trouble in this world is going to happen to you on this side of heaven. I know that's really hard for a lot of us to hear, because we want it perfect here. We don't like hurting. We don't like struggle. I mean, who in their right mind really does? I mean, I'm being very honest with you. I don't like it. But I will tell you this. I have come to find that when you're dealing with trouble and struggle, God uses that to help you grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. He helps you to become the man or the woman of God that you're called to be. Now, that is a choice, though, of you to receive it or not. You can say, no, I don't, you know, I'm going to continue down my life the way it is. I like me. I like the way it is. And this is how things should be. Well, that is not what God has called you or I to do. God wants us to be in, well, perfect harmony with Him. Love. In perfect love. Again, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to experience some form of danger and trouble in this world. Here's the thing. We don't have to be afraid of that danger. Why? Well, because God is still on our side. Those of you who have chosen to surrender your lives to Almighty God and say, okay, I'm yours. You have nothing to fear. The Bible is clear that God works all things together for the good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Again, God is on our side. Even if there are temporary things to fear, our permanent home is with God Almighty in the perfect world of heaven. I want to share that one more time. Even if there are temporary things to fear here on this planet, on this side of heaven, our permanent home is with God Almighty in the perfect world of heaven. With that in mind, let's not forget the kingdom of God is not a place. Okay? Heaven is heaven. Earth is earth. The kingdom of God is not heaven or earth. The kingdom of God is a mindset. It is a spiritual awakening. It is a lifestyle that we lead and show others the way in and through our actions. I freely admit it is something I have to work on every single day. Every single minute of every single day. Every single second of every single day. Checking my mind. Checking my heart. I admittedly fail. I don't like admitting that. But I'm a human being. And thank God Almighty that Jesus Christ came down, was born of the Virgin, lived a perfect life, went to the cross for you and for me, died on that cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, and is still alive to this very day. You see, He didn't die again. Again, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will experience some form of danger in this world. But we don't have to be afraid of that danger. Again, our home is with Almighty God in the perfect world of heaven. But what about worry? Well, I'll get into that when we come back here. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason DeZurek. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Many years ago, we heard the phrase, a fundamental transformation of the United States of America. I think it is safe to say that many, if not most of us, really didn't know what this phrase really meant at the time. Some people were willing to call it out for what they saw as a direct attack on our foundational beliefs laid near the beginning of our nation's founding, and they were ridiculed for being, well, closed-minded, or even accused of being hateful or racist to those wanting this fundamental transformational change. Well, friends, I think we now see the result of this attempted fundamental transformation of our nation and even of the Christian faith. To find out more about this, go to our blog and look for our posting titled, The Foundation Matters.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
I have been blessed to have worked with students and parents since 1995. I've heard teachers, youth pastors, and many others who have worked with students proclaim the following phrase: parents are such a problem. To that I would say, no, they're not. Friends, it has been such a blessing for my wife and me to work with students and families since 1996 together. And as of this Fastcast, we've also been blessed to have 6 children of our own. I can assure you that youth work is not only faith work, but family work as well. If God has indeed put parents over the children that he has given to them, then as someone who works with students, you must be okay when a parent decides to do something regarding their child that you disagree with and might even go against biblical teaching. These children are not your children. They have been given to their parents by Almighty God. Friends, to find out more about this, I encourage you to find our blog post titled, Parents Are Not the Problem.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I do want to share with you a story that happened to me personally regarding what you just heard in that Fastcast, because I know for some of you tuning into this and hearing that, that's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Because you're going, well, I've worked with these children for so long, I should be able to influence their lives. And if I think there's something better for them, well, why can't I usurp the authority that the parents have that God's given to them? Well, let me share with you in just a little bit of why that's really not a good idea. Before I get to that, I just wanted to encourage you one more thing regarding fear and worry. Worry is what happens when we have fear. Again, if I'm afraid of losing my job, I will worry about it. If I'm afraid of getting into a car accident, I'm going to worry about it. Worry is the result of having fear, which is what happens when we try to control our lives by ourselves. Friends, don't try to control things you cannot control. If God is in control, we have nothing to fear. And in fact, we can have joy. But if we are in control, we will worry about the situations in our lives and typically mess them up, thus causing more worry. Again, Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Friends, this really is about Almighty God and you submitting your life to him in your mind and in your spirit. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Years ago, I had a young man show up to our youth group that was not from the town that our youth group was in. His parents were divorced. He was living with his mother at the time and her new husband, his stepfather. And he showed up to the youth group. He played a mean game of ping pong, let me tell you. He got in his licks, I got in mine. Whoa. We had some awesome battles. He won some, I won some. This young man has a last name, well, that's could be made fun of. I'll just put it that way. So just imagine showing up to a new town with a funny name, someone who's not your father living in your home with your mother. and trying to make a family and make a go of it. Not knowing if you're going to be welcomed or not. This young man at the time was in middle school when he showed up, and years went by. And he and I built up a very good relationship. I still consider him my friend to this day. You know, is he living his life now the way I'd like to see him live it? Well, no, because it's not my life. It's his life. He can do what he wants. I prayed for him. I still love him. And he and I would get into deep theological discussions. And I'll just say this. Something that he and I would discuss a lot about was a specific topic. I'm not going to go into what the topic is because, well, for this story, it really doesn't matter. It just matters that his father, not his stepfather, his father 100% disagreed with me on it. And his father and him, well, they talk about it a lot. And my friend, again, he was a youth. I'd take him home after youth group, and we'd sit in my car and just talk. I'm not kidding. Sometimes he'd get home, and we'd be there, and it'd be like 9:30, and he wouldn't go in till 11 o'clock at night because we were talking for so long about things. And he told me that his father was just upset with me. And he's like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, I agree with you. I think you're right on this. I think my dad is wrong. So what should I do? Friends, at that moment, I had a decision to make. Do I undermine his father, whom I vehemently disagreed with, and he vehemently disagreed with me? Do I undermine his authority and tell his son, oh, don't listen to him, he doesn't know what he's talking about? Or do I choose another path? Friends, I will admit it was a very difficult decision for me to make. I'm so glad to tell you that I honored his father. I told my friend, look, this is your dad. We disagree, but you cannot dishonor him. You cannot fight him on this. Let him believe what he believes. Even if that means he won't let you come to youth group anymore, you need to honor him. You need, well, God placed him over you, so honor God. This young man was quite shocked, and I can tell you this too as we wrap up tonight. This father was very shocked at my response to this situation. We had an event at our church about this topic we had talked about. And he came, meaning the father. After it was all done, his father came up to me. And he said, basically, he said, I don't agree with you on this, but I want to thank you for loving my son. You can hang out with him as much as you want. Friends, that is what love is. We need to love people where they're at. I have seen it work so many times. Now, I don't even know where his father's at on this topic anymore. I don't know. But I do know that parents are not the problem. If you're an educator, if you're a youth pastor, if you're a pastor, if you somehow work with children, you need to be willing to let their parents be the parents. Honor them and their decisions, even if you disagree with them. And I hate to tell you, but you're going to disagree with them on some things, and they're going to disagree with you. It is a fact of life. But we need to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We've got to love even the parents you might disagree with. God Almighty gave those children to those parents for a reason. Now, I want to be clear. If we're talking about children being hurt in some way, that's completely different. We're talking about, over the grand scope of it all, parents have been placed in charge of their children by Almighty God. God did that, not us. He's the one who instituted it. So we got to be okay with it. And as we leave, I just want to encourage husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. I'm working on this too. Wives, honor your husbands. Let's show our children what it really means to love. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I'll see you next time, and you go out and make today great. Don't be a pushover.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.